Okay, this coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and the privilege of reading Parshas Bo, which of course begins, Bo el Paro ki ani echbadti esli, Bo, go to Paro, come to Paro because I've hardened his heart. And the idea that Moshe should go to Paro's palace because Hashem hardened his heart is odd. Why is that a reason to go? And moreover, what happened to the concept of Bechira Chavshas, of free will? So all the commentaries ask that question. But Rav Nosson C. Finkel Zatzal, the late great Mirror Rosh Hashiva, suggested that the concept of choice is strengthened, is strengthened based on the idea that when a person chooses a path, that is the path that he goes. B'derech she'adam rotza leilich, bo molichin oso. And so once entrenched in that path, the person loses the perspective on it and almost loses the choice as a result of being entrenched in that process. Kichbadeti aslibo, he chose, Paro chose, and then I made him sort of stuck where he is. Bechira, says Rav Nosson Tzvi, is the selection of the path, and the hechbadeti aslibo, the hardening of the heart, is what happens when the choice keeps happening again and again. The person just regularly chooses to stay in the bad path. And so thus, says Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, one needs to be constantly reviewing his actions in order to ascertain if he has given up the right to choose. Paro was given that option. 10 times over, he was given the opportunity to go ahead and get out of it. He didn't take it. He lost the perspective. How many times in life do we get stuck in that situation where it's just already almost habitual? We have the responsibility for the habit. We have the responsibility to go ahead and look over our actions to make sure that we go in the right direction. So the Moshe Rabbeinu turns and gives the answer, Bin Narenu Bizkeinenu Nelech, that we're going to go with our young and our old. And Paro tries to strike a negotiation stance with Moshe about the Yom Tov that Moshe wanted the people to leave and go on. Moshe would take the men and the women and the children left behind if Paro got his way. But the Rambam, in his letters, notes that this is the style that Paro represented, that of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tries to separate the generations. Revolch Shlita adds that this attempt we always respond that as a nation we walk strongly as we walk together, tall and proud, young and old. My dear friend Rav Shai Shachter Shalita also adds quite often that the idea of going bin Arenu Bizkeinenu is what Yadus is all about. Yadus is not all about just talking about our own needs or our own going at it alone. Yadus is a family-centric concept. Yadus is a generationally centered concept. And we need to go with our young, with our old, all moving together at the same time for us to be able to be strong. It's not lochein lechuna hagvarim. It's not an opportunity. I'd like to add to his wonderful words, that's one of the things we need to consider when we talk about all of these opportunities for retreats and whatnot. When it comes at the expense of a Yom Tov at home, one needs to really take a look and see, is that a good thing for us? So then the parasha continues, Gam HaIsh, right before the Makas Bechoros, we find Gam HaIsh Moshe Godo Be'nei Paro Be'nei Avadav. It's when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu prior to Bakas Bechoros, we find that the chain was be'ene ha'am, that the chain of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the hands of the am, but the godless was in the eyes of Paro. And Ramban points out that the chain was only given in the context of the am, but Paro didn't give Moshe the same chain. And why was that? So the Chevron of Rosh Hashiva of Simchas Issel Brody explains that had Paro allowed himself to feel favor for Moshe Rabbeinu, he could never have bowed to him later. And that this was destined to be part of the punishment of Paro, that he who threatened to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, if he ever saw him again, would now need to bow before him in indebtedness and servitude. If there was chain, Paro would never have felt this sense of degradation. This was a necessity as part of the Cheres process. So then Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Paro and he tells him, look, I want you to know that God's going to make this differentiation, Laman Asher Yafla Hashem, Bein Mitzrayim Ubein Bnei Yisrael. So you should know that Hashem's going to distinguish between Mitzrayim and Yisrael. And there are three mitzvos that we are told, Laman. Three times we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this for a purpose of Laman. There's Tzitzis, Laman Tzitzkru V'Asisem. There's a mitzvah of Sukkah, Laman Yedu Dorosechen, and the mitzvah of Tefillin lamantia Torah Hashem beficha. So in each of these cases, the mitzvah is followed by the word laman. Rabelski Zatzal adds that we find the same idea here too. Why? So Rabelski Zatzal suggests that, like in those other cases, the Torah is trying to demonstrate a difference between us and our Gentile neighbors. For all time, we might live together, but we're also a nation that's apart. From the birth moment of the nation, from the time that Am Yisrael was born, our silence at that point in time, during Makas Bechoros, was a means of contrast to the tzakos in Mitzrayim. And that contrast has to remain strong if we're to thrive. We will survive. And we do so because we live a life that is different. In our own genes and our own responses to world events, we carry ourselves with a dignity. That's the difference, Laman Asher Yafla, so suggests Rabelski. What a fascinating idea. The Torah also tells us that we have a responsibility on Pesach night to turn around and eat basar. V'yachlu asa basar balayla azeh. We're told to eat basar on this evening. And the Rambam, when he opens up the concept of dinim derabanan, he identifies five parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. He understands that there's a concept called halacha l'moshe misinai, there's a concept called drashos, there's a concept called perushim hamakubalim l'moshe misinai, there is dinim derabanan, there are gezeros. The truth is, Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechter has written a whole sefer on this when he talks about the history of Torah Shebaal Peh, and each one of the chapters is one of the shiurim, is built on one of these ideas. Now, the truth of the matter is, Rav Shechter would often ask us, why is it that we spend time on Talmud Torah doing Deyim Derabanan? Shouldn't it be that we should have to study the mitzvos d'oraisa because they're a higher getter of Talmud Torah? So Rav Shechter would often answer that the Deyim Derabanan are all responsibly patterned on the concept of biblical mitzvah. So as Rav Shechter likes to remind us, called the tikkun rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikkun. Whatever the din and derabbanan are, they are patterned on the biblical mitzvah. And the Korban Pesach gives us another example of this rule. For instance, we have a concept called Hilchos Brachos, and we learn the rules of Shinei Makom, that one needs to make a new bracha when one changes his seat. We learn that from the Korban Pesach. Well, one who eats a kazayas and changes his seat cannot partake of any more of the Korban Pesach. We learn of achlu asabasar balayla hazeh, and it serves as a basis for even dinim that are far away from it, the dinim derabanan of shinoi makom. We're also told hayom atem yotzim bechodesh ha'aviv. And what Rashi explains, that this is significant, that you leave today in the month of the spring, because it shows us the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in the springtime, so it wouldn't be too cold or too hot when we traveled. And this idea is repeated again in the context of the beginning of the barley blossoming, implying that, right, at Makas Barad, which seems to imply that the Aviv concept is as much about the farming cycle as it is about moments in history. So Chaim Sabato Shalita, the famous Rosh Hashiva Malei Adumim, explains that the two ideas, the agricultural concept together with the historical concept, are indeed intertwined. Like a crop, man begins to blossom, he discovers freedom first. Thereafter, when he or she has explored the freedom concept, they merge into something greater, and the merging begins, and thus one can understand the following of Pesach with Shavuos, Sabbath, and Torah, which is the idea of Yisem Liskula Mikalo Amim. First you are free as an individual, now you want to merge into an Am. And after the establishment of the boundaries, there's a chance for a person to reap that which he or she has sown, and this is the purpose of Sukkos. And so highlighting Pesach in Aviv is also inspiring to the people in this early stage. This could also be the reason of why, in order to get to Baal Ta'acher, the Torah tells us that there is an opinion that one needs to actually have all the holidays in order. Because there is an order to a cycle of a person, and when a person delays and tarries, then that concept of Baal Ta'acher has followed in stage, and the person is still delaying. And so maybe that's why you need to go 5 Yamim Tovim, according to one of the Shittas in the Gemara, because in order to go 5 in a row, you will have indeed followed through each one of the Yamim Tovim in its proper order. Just parenthetically, this is also one of the bases Erickson's stages of development, starting with adolescence. And certainly in the adult stages of life, where a person first needs to discover his freedom in order for a person to discover where he wants to go with it. Just something to consider. Torah has always been there long before the psychological stages of development. The last idea I want to present on the parsha is indeed from what we read about matzos teachelei shavas hayamim, that we have a mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days. And Rabbi Yeshua Maiman, one of the great leaders of the Moroccan community, who passed away this week at the age of 100, he tried to explain why we refer to holiday as Chag HaPesach, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to it as Chag HaMatzos. Why do we see Pesach and he says matzah? So Rav Maiman Zatzal explains that you want to consolidate a relationship and a mutual commitment with somebody, you have to look for the good points in the other person. And so therefore, the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it Matzos, Chag HaMatzos, because he wants to publicize our walking after him, Be'eretz Lo Zerua, with only matzos, without having prepared food for the road. But in Torah Shabbat Peh, our Chachamim call the Yom Tov Pesach, or Psachim, to remind us of the fact that Hashem passed over the Batei B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. It's as if each of the sides wants to remind the other one of the Chesed Shegamaltem, of the kindness that they did to each other. In the Haftorah, Yirmiyahu HaNavi describes the inevitable fall of Mitzrayim into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Gemara Megillah on Daf Chavta Saman Aleph uses a pasuk, Ketavor al Bein Aharim v'Kakarmel al Ayam Kenuba. Uses that pasuk to tell us that La'asad Labo, the Bate Knesios and the Bate Medrashos, the Bate Medrash and the Shuls, will get up and fly to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Pamzatzal bemoaned the state of decorum in our shuls and wondered why people don't give those places the respect that they deserve. These are the places that are going to carry us back, Letzion. So how come we don't get so excited? So Rav Pamzatzal thought that perhaps the people don't appreciate the power of their own tefillos in these places. They tend to only think about the power of a tefillos tzaddik. And what we need to do in our lives is have more than just tefillos tzaddikim. We need to think about our own tefillos. And maybe that's something we should consider as we stand there in our shuls in this coming Shabbos, to remind ourselves that, no, if we want to achieve the geula like was achieved by Yamim Mohem, Bezman Hazeh, that we also need to rise to the occasion. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us the chance to be in those shuls and to experience the geula shlema. May we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a Shabbat Shalom to all.